Paul, Silas, Luke, and Timothy are walking through Macedonia. And this girl, this demon-possessed girl, she's following after them, calling out to them. Now, this girl had brought profit to her masters. She would be known as a Pytho. They believed that she was possessed by the god, Apollos. And since she was possessed by this god, he was the god of oracles, she could tell other people's futures. And so people would pay good money because don't we want to know what's going to happen? People still do this today. So she's following after them. Finally, Paul has enough and he delivers this girl that has been exploited by these men to bring profit from this demon. And were they so joyful that she was delivered and set free? No, they raised a stir because there was the commentaries I read said that there was an anti-Semitic mindset. And they said these Jews are causing confusion and they're bringing their traditions into this place. Now, both Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, but they were also Jewish, so they looked Jewish. Timothy and Luke were not punished. Paul and Silas were stripped naked and they were beaten with rods. There were people who would run around with the chief magistrates. They were called lictors. You ever get a licking when you were a kid? They had bundles of rods and one axe. Because sometimes corporal and capital punishment needed to take place. So they stripped these men of their clothes and they beat them bloody in the street. And then they were thrown in prison and these stocks were wood and they could spread their legs apart so that they were uncomfortable. There was no such thing as care for prisoners. They would starve. They would die of infection. It did not matter. Now, Paul, at that very moment, before he was beaten, could have called his rights as a Roman citizen, but he laid his rights aside and received the beating for his faith. How would an American Christian, how would a follower of Christ in the U.S. respond if our rights were violated, if we were beaten, if we were unjustly imprisoned? These men sang hymns at midnight and offered up prayer so that the other prisoners heard. Now, we don't know what hymn they were singing, but what came to mind after the fact was Isaiah 6, when the angels, when the seraphim are calling above the Lord Almighty, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory." And at the sound of their voices, the temple filled with smoke and the threshold shook. The same thing happened in this prison and the stocks were loose and the chains fell to the floor. Here these men sat in prison and they knew what freedom was. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is the truth. He says this in John 14:6, as Kelly mentioned earlier. He also says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." These were free men, even as they sat in prison. And as the guard woke up at this dark hour, he could not see in the door, but he knew the door was open, and no smart person would stay. They had to leave. The honorable thing for a jailer, first off, he would receive, by Roman law, he would receive the punishment of the prisoner. And the honorable thing, instead of being put to death, would be to fall on your sword. Now the prisoners are looking out this door, and the commentators point to the fact that there must have been some kind of silhouette. Their eyes had adjusted to the dark. They'd been awake. So they see this about to happen, and Paul calls out to him, "Don't do it." Not only were Paul and Silas there, so were the other prisoners. No one left. Why would Paul take such a beating and take such abuse? But to lead this man to Christ. To lead the one who put him in prison to freedom. From the very cell where he was to receive his punishment. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free men sing. Now you may say, Doug, I don't like singing. Free men also pray. And women, you're not men as general. Women, children, if you're following after Jesus, you can do this. And trembling, the jailer falls before them. Says, what must I do to be saved? How often do we see the Lord's servants falling before God? Isaiah did it. Peter did it. Lord, away from me. Lord, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips, but my eyes have seen the King. What must I do to be saved, he asked. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they shared the gospel, they shared the word with him. They proclaimed the same thing they proclaimed in the streets, the same thing they proclaimed in the prison, because only one thing mattered. What Christ had done and what Christ was doing. Seven of us went to Tabor's banquet. And I read a passage there and prayed. The passage is in James. I'm going to read it quickly. James 2:18 says, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I will show you my faith by what I do. I will show you how I've been transformed by Jesus Christ, because you will see something different. The jailer who was called to protect and guard them took them to his house and washed their wounds. He cleaned them up. And then they baptized him. They washed one another. He washed their wounds because he had been washed from the inside, and they baptized him. And what did they do then? He took them into his house. It didn't matter where they were staying. They just needed to show up the next day. So what the jailer did was not illegal. He took them into his house. If these men wouldn't flee prison, they're not going to flee a meal. I mean, if anyone, brethren, can understand this. Food, I'm there. What are we doing? It doesn't matter. And it says they rejoiced. And I imagine the jailer sitting there with these men who had been brought to him. Asking, I heard you singing last night. I heard you singing just a few hours ago. Teach me that song. Whew. Free men sing. And when we know the truth, when we know Jesus Christ, we will be free indeed. Amen.
We hope the message you've just heard has brought you closer to Jesus. If it has, or if you'd like to learn more about God or about His Word, the Bible, we would love to hear from you. You can call us at area code 717-898-0181, or you can email us at office@hemfieldcob.org. If you happen to be in the Lancaster or Manheim area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Sunday mornings. You can find details and directions at hemfieldcob.org. And now, from all of us at Hemfield Church of the Brethren, we'd just like to wish you and yours a wonderful and blessed week. The music in this recording has been graciously provided by and performed by Kevin McLeod, www.incompetech.com.